I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Yesterday, the U.S. stock market took a major tumble. The Dow Jones dropped 800 points, that's 3%, which is the biggest single-day drop since December 4th of last year. Driving this was a phenomenon called an inverted yield curve, and that's when the long-term price of bonds drops to a lower value than their short-term counterparts. It's been a predictor of trouble in the past, and it had market analysts worried about a future economic crisis.
I know everybody's concerned about the inverted yield curve. The inverted yield curve is an effect. It is not a cause. The cause of this is slower global growth.
And then all of a sudden, we get this tweet about this extra 10% on $300 billion. This was a crisis created by them and solved by them. And I think it's very...
Tell us where we're going. Does this end in real disaster? And if so, when? Can you tell us that? Can you explain this?
And the R word was on everyone's mind.
All of this speaks to this underlying concern that the escalation of the trade war on top of the already existing slowdown in the global economy will cause a either severe slowdown or even a recession.
Frenzied atmosphere brought to mind painful memories from just a decade ago, when a particularly bad trading day signaled the near collapse of the global financial system. For many, the Great Recession was one of the worst financial meltdowns in memory.
We start 2009 in the midst of a crisis unlike any we have seen in our lifetime.
I'm very worried about my mortgage, the mortgage of my family, the insurance policies that we have.
The American economy is in a crisis. It is in a crisis.
So how bad is this going to get? Joining me now is Paul Krugman. He's a distinguished professor at the City University of New York, a Nobel Prize winning economist and opinion columnist at the New York Times. Paul, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi there.
Let's unpack what's happening with this inverted yield curve. What does this mean?
Okay, as one of the voices we just heard said, it's an effect, not a cause. The bond yields, basically long-term bonds, 10-year, 30-year, reflect what people think the Federal Reserve is going to be doing in the future. If you think the Fed is going to be raising rates to rein in an economic boom, those rates, long-term rates, tend to be high. If you think that we're going to be facing a recession or something close to it, and the Fed's going to be cutting rates, those rates are low. And what's happening now is that those long-term rates are saying that investors out there are really concerned that the economy is going to be weak for a long time and that the Fed's going to respond to that. So it's basically, this is telling us that people have gotten remarkably pessimistic about the economy's outlook.
Yet at the same time, by lots of measures, the U.S. economy is pretty strong. U.S. unemployment is low. Consumer confidence is steady. Inflation is relatively low. What is the outlook here at home and why so much pessimism right now?
Well, the thing is, those are all backward-looking indicators. No question that we've had a pretty good year, a pretty good couple of years. But the bond market is about the future, not about the recent past. And there are a number of warning signs. There's no one big thing. This is not like 2008 when a collapsing housing bubble was wreaking havoc in the financial system. In this case, instead of being the sum of all fears, it is sum of a number of fears. There's the trade war, which is definitely starting to inhibit business hiring and investment. There's economic troubles in Europe. There's economic troubles in China. And I think there's just a sort of growing sense that things are not under control, that the people in charge don't actually know what they're doing. And that is contributing to this remarkable shift towards pessimism.
We're going to talk a little bit about the international markets in just a second. Do you see any weaknesses in the U.S. economy right now?
Oh, yeah. You're really starting to see business investment, which was supposed to be booming because of that tax cut, is in fact falling. Not plunging, but it's falling. You can really see that businesses are holding off not just because of the trade war, but because they don't know what's going to happen. It's sort of will he or won't he? And until we decide what until there's some clarity, better to just not spend. There's some hints that housing We had a pretty good housing recovery. There's some hints of that may have been a miniature bubble in housing that's now deflating. But it just it's no one big thing, but a whole bunch of things are kind of coming together to suggest that the next year or two is going to be a lot slower than the past 2 years.
The Times yesterday reported that Germany was on the brink of a recession itself. Can you tell us a little bit about why? What's happening in Germany?
Well, Germany is, first of all, very exposed to international trade. If you want, think of Germany as basically a country that sells cars to the world and a lot to China. So trouble in China is trouble in Germany. And also Germany made some, in their crucial car industry, they made this huge mistake in going for diesel. And then turns out there's a scandal because they kind of faked the pollution data. And then Germany is, they're still locked into this notion that the government must not spend. They're running a budget surplus even as their economy weakens. And even though they can borrow at literally, I mean, the markets literally want to give them money, they can borrow at negative interest rates. So Germany is kind of like they looked at all of the lessons from the last financial crisis and decided to do the opposite of what those lessons were.
China is also showing signs of weak economic growth. What's driving that, Paul?
I think fundamentally China has been, people have been predicting, I've been predicting a Chinese slowdown for years, and they keep on finding ways to put it off. But the China's just, they have a growth model. They've built their economy around a system in which there really isn't very much consumption, and there's a huge amount of investment, and the investment's getting harder and harder to justify. So China really has failed to make the transition into a sustainable way of growing, and it's kind of like Japan 30 years ago. They've hit the limits of one way of doing business, but they haven't figured out, or they haven't managed to make the transition. So in some ways, the Chinese thing was going to happen one of these days. The surprise is that it's taken this long.
President Trump has delayed some of the China tariffs at least until mid-December. Is it fair to say that the president blinked, Paul?
Oh, clearly he blinked. On one hand, he's been saying, oh, American consumers don't pay the tariffs, the Chinese pay the tariffs. On the other hand, I'm calling off the tariffs for a while in order to help American consumers. So he's talking out of both sides of his mouth here. I will say that I don't think that this kind of delay is actually good for the economy, because part of the problem is not just so much the tariffs themselves as the uncertainty. You know, you don't want to, if you're someone who relies on imported stuff from China, you don't want to invest because there might be tariffs. But if you're somebody who's thinking of opening up a factory to compete with China, you don't want to invest until you're sure there will be tariffs. So what Trump is doing is he's sort of adding to the sense of chaos and unpredictability, which actually is a drag on the U.S. economy.
Because China also hasn't made any concessions in exchange here. Does that indicate that the U.S. position on tariffs is weakening?
Well, it was never entirely clear what Trump wanted from China anyway. Part of the problem with, I think, the Chinese face is that they might be willing to make a deal if they could figure out what the deal would be. It's not clear what they're supposed to be offering. But also, you know, we're Americans. We have this problem of thinking of other people as being real, other countries as being real. You know, China is a nationalistic society, very proud of itself. Trump wants something that looks like a big win, you know, where you can say, I forced the Chinese to give stuff to me. The Chinese are absolutely as unwilling to make that kind of deal as Trump is desiring to have that kind of deal. So I think we're now getting to a situation where Chinese nationalism and pride is becoming an important factor, too.
We heard at the top of the show, a lot of our callers are nervous. They're afraid about an incoming recession. Paul, if we see a recession in the United States, are we as a country prepared? Is the government prepared to handle that?
No. I mean, this is the biggest worry is not that there's some huge thing that's going to cause a recession. There's a bunch of smaller things. As the absence of of an obvious response. I mean, the Federal Reserve can cut interest rates, but interest rates are already pretty low. So there's not that much traction there. And then, well, you could imagine other government policies, but then you have to ask, well, how is that going to happen? I mean, who's going to be making these policies? Somebody was joking, you know, the Trump economic team consists of somebody who basically played an economist on TV, someone who most economists think doesn't understand a thing, and the guy who made Lego Batman. So it's not as if we have any reason to be confident in who's in charge.
President Trump has made the economy a major talking point, not just in his campaign, but in his during his administration as one of the most positive things that he's done for the United States. Paul, we've got a major election coming up. A weakening economy could be bad news for President Trump. Do you think it will factor into the race, and particularly among his base?
Well, where it is right now is that the economy looks, I mean, if you believe professional forecasters, which you shouldn't, but basically there's nobody's very good at calling these turning points, but the sort of standard median forecast now is for an economy which I think you could technically describe as meh, sort of an economy that's growing but not especially fast. And that's bad for Trump, even if that's all that happens, because there's a lot of, you know, his approval rating has always been well below what you might have expected given the economic numbers, because there are some other things, which we're not talking about here, that really bother a lot of people about Trump. And if the economy weakens beyond that, then he's in very big trouble.
Paul Krugman is a Nobel Prize winning economist and an opinion columnist at The New York Times. Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.